from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Although he could have pronounced Okunlola's name correctly, but that's
To be fair, I last night because I have personal issues, I guess I was rewatching the end of the Boston College game last year.
Yes, you
when
do.
When Pitt played Boston College, and I think on fourth down, the final fourth down, it was Sam Okunlola who like chased Thomas Castellanos out of bounds. And this is at the end of the game, the final like 40 seconds, and they mispronounced his name. At that point, game number 11, the final 40 seconds, and they were still mispronouncing it. I mean, Dion probably just met the kid like a week ago. So, you know, to be fair, you know, it's I can understand. But yeah, that whole thing, I was like, do I even want to get into that with primetime and Narduzzi? But I'm like, no, because Narduzzi started it. He took a shot at Deion Hayes and primetime, you know, he defended his guys.
I mean, I would love to see Pitt play Colorado, but I don't think by the time they play that game, that Deion would still be around. So,
I think both programs would be happy to have the opportunity to meet in a bowl game because it would mean that they got to a bowl game. So, you know, I think that's an admirable goal for both programs right now.
Chris Peake, you can check out all of his work, outstanding stuff, at pittsburgh.rivals.com. Chris Peake of Panther Lair. Chris, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. And it's kind of been cool to talk a little Pitt because, as you said, with so much else going on, it's gotten a little lost, and they start in 16 days.
It's coming up. It's coming up fast, for sure.
Thanks, Chris.
See you, Jeff.
All right, Chris Peake from Panther Lair at pittsburgh.rivals.com. And, yeah, if you're a Pitt fan and haven't checked out his stuff, well, then you're probably not a Pitt fan, but you should check it out. Especially the recruiting stuff is outstanding, and we'll have those games coming up in just a couple of weeks with Kent State to start in Backyard Brawl just a couple weeks after that. When we return, we are also the home of the Pirates. Let's have some honest discussions about what's going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates. 412-928-9370. We will do that as we continue. Joel's got an update, and we will return here, Jeff Hathorn, with you on a Fan Evening Shift on 93.7 The Fan. But not before I do fan weather, as Joel reminded me. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy summer drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. It's going to be a low of 70 tonight. Tomorrow, get out early. Do your stuff early. There's a chance for rain in the afternoon. Storms potentially all weekend. And as I was saying, we'll talk Pirates as we continue at 412-928-9370. Jeff Hathorn, Joel Nelson. Joel, where does this rank in the terms of walk-in songs?
That's a really good one. It's got to be up there, you know. And I know Virginia Tech is also in the ACC,
dude,
just like Pitt. But
I got to call that game last year, Pitt at Virginia Tech. I mean, it was awesome.
Was it absolutely like, incrinculent,
Folsy? It was very incrinculent. Even the Pitt people were like, who hadn't been there before, were kind of like, I want to see what this is all about. And those fans, like, that place rocked for that, for Enter Sandman. I mean, it was theater. There are so many times in games where, you know, fans will arrive late. This wasn't a great Virginia Tech team. They were there early. That happened. And I'll tell you, by the end of the first quarter, I think some of the fans went in, did that, and may have decided to go back out.
I was just going
to
say, are you going there just for that, the price of admission, and then that's it, go to bed early?
I'm not saying all of them did. I'm not saying it completely emptied out. But there were some people that came in, did Sandman, went back to their party.
Well, now it makes me think, have you ever covered a game at Camp Randall in Madison, Wisconsin?
No, that's on the
list. They
play
jump around at like the third or fourth quarter.
It's on the list. And it's oddly enough, because I covered the Big Ten for a couple of years, but I didn't travel. And that's one of the places. I've been to a couple of road stadiums. I've been to that one in Ann Arbor. I've been to the Michigan State. I've been to Penn State. You're familiar with that atmosphere, I believe, Joel.
I think I've been to a couple of games there.
And I've been to Purdue.
That's a good spot.
When they bring the big drum out, and but other than that, they've struggled quite a bit. But I've been to Indiana. But sadly, I haven't been to see Jump Around, Madison is it? Have you ever been to Madison? I know I'm on this tangent here.
It's one of those 40 state capitals my family and I have been to.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
But what people don't realize, there's this big lake by Madison, and the campus has like a little beach area. Like, it's right on a lake. It's almost like it's on, it is on the water, but it's like you wouldn't think of Madison, Wisconsin having like water activities for their students. It's kind of like the Northwestern.
I was just going to say, it's got, the water, the body of water is like right there near campus.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a beach. We went and visited there, Brooke and I, and I was shocked to see that, this is this higher learning institution. Right after we went to the statue of Ron Cook, we went over to the beach. And sadly, the statue, you have to walk a ways to get over to the beach. But there's this huge thing where they pay homage to Ron, and they've got this whole garden, and they charge admission, and I don't know where that money goes to. I don't know if it goes to like a beer fund or where, but you kind of go over, you walk in, you pay homage to Ron, and then you go and you see the beach. And they've got this beautiful new football facility that goes out into the lake. I mean, the land juts out into the lake. It's $250 million. I don't know how much Ron contributed to that, but it is. It's a weird thing. I'll now go all the way back to the Pirates, but I was trying to have some fun before we got into Bucco talk. So, I mean, it's been everything from managerial miscues to player miscues. And I know I'm sure we're going to get calls or texts or whatever saying fire Shelton, and that changes it. Or that's the big move. And he is culpable in this, absolutely. However, how about your bullpen getting an out? How about O'Neill Cruz catching the damn ball? Catch it. Oh, it's a lack of accountability. No. It's on 100% on O'Neill Cruz to catch the damn baseball. You could take him out of the game. Maybe that gives him more focus. But if you're in a wild card race, which they were, do you take that bat out of the lineup when you look at some of the other bats you could put in there? You're going to put Jared Triolo at short? Is that the best managerial move? You know what, O'Neal? I'm going to go old school on you. I'm going to sit your tail down for a week. We can't have that. And I'm going to put Jared Triolo at short. He's not going to drop a ball on a double play. He might go 1 for 18, but he's not going to drop the ball. Accountability at a professional level has to be there with the manager, but it also has to be with these players. We're not playing a game and then hoping to get ice cream after. These are players that need to be held accountable to themselves. At that level, managerial moves shouldn't alter that. And that's not to... I think his job absolutely should be on the line at the end of the year. And I'll explain that, but we'll get to Doug first. 412-928-9370. Doug in Portersville. Hey, Doug.
Yeah. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, man.
Yeah,
you?
I'm doing well. And I do think that they need to fire a couple different reasons. First off, I believe that Chapman should be closing. He's throwing 104, and Bednar's struggling. All these one-run games that they've losing, that's all reflective of their manager and changes that he could have done whenever he left Bart on, I forget what game, but he left Bart on the bench and let Grandel bat in the ninth. There's so many things that you could go and point to that are a direct result of him and his his inability to manage a major league team. That it's become frustrating. The fact that they can't develop players, and this goes back to, you look at Gregory Polanco and Tabata and now Cruz. It seems like they have a lot of guys that don't know situational baseball or have low baseball IQs, and they're not getting any better. And it's so frustrating.
Now, Doug, I was going to say, those are things that go across the franchise. I mean, Tabata was a couple of managers ago when he was playing. And that's where I get into, where I get frustrated with, why aren't these players accountable? And listen, you're right. Why Joey Bart didn't pinch hit, why Holderman stayed out there when you could have brought Chapman in to face Jock Peterson, which seemed to be the at-bat that's changed the season.
Yep.
I absolutely agree with you. Where I differ is, I don't know if you're in that pennant race or you're in a playoff chase, which they were, that you put arguably your best bat, your second best bat, Reynolds is your best bat, out of the lineup and play someone that can't hit.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. Like I said, it's so frustrating because they showed, that they, the starting pitching was supposed to be the weakness, coming into the year, and it's been phenomenal. And as of late, struggling a little bit with Keller, and the bullpen has been disappointing, but just, inconsistencies batting and things like that. Like I said, it's just a typical another year. And, I'm grateful that they, got us to the start of football season here. But, it's just at the point now where, nobody's accountable from the owner down,
Doug, what's your optimism for next year?
I don't have any, to be honest with you. I mean, it's like fool me once, shame on you, shame on me. I feel like I've been fooled so many times. And I think, we're wasting these years with, schemes. McCutcheon's going to be another year older. And there's so many spots, and Hayes, he's so frustrating. He doesn't hit for power. Nobody talks about it. Like, there's so many holes. They don't have a center fielder. I mean, there's just so many things. There's so many players away. And the fact that they can't develop anybody, they can't draft, Henry Davis, he's never going to, amount to anything, so it seems so far, and they have some guys that show flashes, but then they regress so quickly that it's just very frustrating.
So Doug, I think this too, I think one of the, I this is phrased incorrectly, but I'm still going to say it this way. One of the worst things that happened this year was Rowdy Tellez bouncing back. And here's why I say
100%.
That because now they believe that any of these other guys can just bounce back like Rowdy did.
Yeah, 100%. That's that mentality. Oh, if he did it, then then, you know, the next guy can do it. And
then Michael A. Taylor's going to do it. Then Jared Triolo's going to do it. Then Holderman's going to do it. I mean, yes.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys taking
thanks,
my call.
Doug.
And love listening to you.
Yeah, right, appreciate it. 412-928-9370. So my thought on Shelton is this. He has made mistakes. Absolutely, he has. And mistakes that have cost them games. I am not making that move right now. Nope. It doesn't. This is different than when the Penguins fired their manager and brought in somebody and that sparked a run because they weren't as far out or had as many teams between them and the postseason. More teams got into the postseason in hockey, and you had a nucleus with some like outstanding Hall of Fame players. Pirates have a couple of good players. Firing the manager now does not change their season, and it could put you in a tough situation and who your next manager would be. I love Donnie Kelly. I think he's a good baseball man, probably a good football man too, being a South Hills guy. But he knows the game. I think he's going to be a good manager. But if you have an idea that it's somebody else, then Donnie comes in, has a ton of success, and you have to hire him. Or you really like Donnie. Donnie and this team continue to struggle, and he doesn't get a shot because he does, you know, he manages the last 40 games and they struggle, and they're like, well, he's not the answer either, when maybe he is the answer. You let the season play out, then you make your call. Emotion right now, I think, puts you in a worse situation than if you just wait, see how it plays out, and you've got all offseason. Not that you wait all offseason to make a move, but you have time to think about the entirety of the season and entirety of a time spent here. Let's go to Jeff in Cranberry. You're next. 412-928-9370 here on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff, how you doing?
Good, man.
You're always so level-headed. I appreciate your work.
Not
I like
always.
Listening to you. Now, with this latest catastrophe, where do you put our beloved Pirates on sort of the Greek sports tragedies list in terms of like the Jets, whoever you want to throw? I mean, now let me remind you, we're 0 for 30 in the National League Central now, right?
Yeah.
In terms of division championships, we
got really close.
We got really close. We had a little bad luck with the Cardinals, I'll give you that. But we are 0 for 30. If you go to Wikipedia, there is not one single year that the Pirates have won. I mean, I know I'm down a little bit after this latest catastrophe, but here we are again in last place. Like, I'll save the modern sports era, the four major U.S. North American sports. Where do we rank at this point?
Well, the season's not done yet. This string, though, reminds me, what was the 4-24 August that happened not so long ago under Clint Hurdle? It reminded
me. Is that 11?
I think it was 11 or 12. I think it was 11. I think you're right about that, Jeff. And that was heartbreaking because you kind of felt like, okay, they're turning the corner. But I think they had more players that you could point to then. It wasn't just a Skeens, Reynolds, and Jones and Keller.
A lot more position players.
Right.
For sure.
And they were younger, and you kind of felt like, okay, Neil Walker, Andrew McCutcheon, Polanco was on the way. You had Starling Marte. Like, there were some players that you could get excited about. I was feeling really good. I was excited about this year. I would probably put it behind 11, but not too far because, man, this felt like a page-turner because you had the pitching and it just hasn't materialized. And it's been...
Well, you know, they talk about, is it Shelton? Is it Charrington? Is it Nutting?
I think it's all of them.
They're back to the Washington Generals for me, man. They worked their way out of being the Washington Generals, but
well, hopefully we look back and say this was a blip or that this started the turnaround. Like, this horrid time had them rethink whatever it is that changes, whether it's manager, general manager philosophy that this inspired that change?
Well, I think that they should not make changes, because what are you going to do? Reset and start over again? I mean, but I will say this. I think Derek Shelton is too loyal to his players and their feelings. You got to take the ball from David Bednar and say, listen, we're going with Chappie tonight. This isn't working right now. Get, you know, go fake injury or whatever, 10-day, to say, you know, he keeps running Hayes out there night after night because that's his guy. He's my guy. I'm sticking with him. I'm not going to put, you know, IKF over there for three games in a row. And I don't know what you do with the rest of the second and short, but you know, he's just too loyal. That's my guy. I'm going to stay with that guy. And that sunk the ship, in my opinion.
Jeff, appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thanks
for calling in. Let's go to Chuck in the car. Chuck, you're next on 93.7 The Fan.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey,
thanks
Chuck.
For taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, the thing with Shelton, I mean, I think he's had a horrible month, and they've lost some games directly based on the moves that he's made. That being said, you know, there's a lot of managers that either lift a pitcher for a reliever or leave a pitcher in and don't go to a reliever, and their players perform for them. So, you know, it doesn't look like a horrible move that you let, you know, you don't bring in a lefty to Jock Peterson. So, you know, I think the vast majority of the downfall has to do with the players themselves plus the player development. What concerns me more than even the managing is, yeah, they don't develop any players from the minor leagues. And then when players come here from other organizations, they almost always regress. Who's gotten better when they put on a pirate uniform?
Well, I will say in fairness that, you know, their pitching staff, they're fairly loaded, it would appear, in pitching. Position player-wise, I would agree with you. I mean, it's a barren wasteland in the Pirates organization in terms of position players. I mean, Tamar Johnson is their highest-ranked one, and he's batting .230 in high A. And, you know, Lonnie White, who they turned from being a football player at Penn State, is batting like .173 with, I think, under 10 home runs or something like that. I mean, guys that they thought were going to be good players, and I would agree with you on that. I think that has been disappointing that they haven't been able to develop better, especially in the position players. But they have drafted well and brought in good players from a pitching side. Not only do they have the guys that are up now, you got Bubba Chandler. Thomas Harrington has been really good in the minor leagues. Michael Burrows is a guy who, you know, dealt with Tommy John surgery, but he was pitching really well. So, Hoyu Chen is another guy who's in Double-A who's good. It's just they don't have the position players. And what they need to do this offseason, Chuck, is turn those – we hear about how starting pitching is the gem of a trade, right? So turn some of that into some quality position players because you have a couple of really good starters.
Absolutely. I mean, they need, as the previous caller said – yeah, at least a center fielder in the outfielder, maybe a corner outfielder in the center fielder. Need a first baseman. Maybe you need a third baseman. I don't know. What's frustrating to me, like.
And Chuck, I would do this.
Sawinski.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say, you know, just like anecdotally, like I like Jack Sawinski. I see a guy that comes over as a 23-year-old that basically has no Triple-A at bats, you know, hits 15, 18 home runs. Then the next year he hits 20-some home runs. Yeah, how can you be managed by an ex-hitting coach and then employ two other hitting coaches and you know, and all these hitters at the major league level completely regress?
You know what it reminds me of, Chuck, and you remember Lloyd McClendon, who is also a hitting coach.
Certainly.
And then we became manager, and they had a guy named Chad Hermanson, who is a can't-miss power prospect who they decided struck out too much. And they toyed with his swing. Doesn't it seem like history is repeating itself here?
You know, it absolutely does. And, you know, when you watch other teams, I mean, I know, you know, everything now is about launch angle and pulling the ball and hitting home runs. But, you know, that's not everybody. I mean, you know, I don't know. It seems to me everybody on the Pirates is trying to be, you know, pull hitter with great launch angle, hit the ball in the air. Now, you know, if you hit the ball 115 miles an hour off the bat, like O'Neill Cruz, get your launch angle right. But you know what? If you're a slap hitter, maybe you should hit the ball the other way. Yeah, maybe, you know, if you're Key Brian Hayes, maybe you should learn to hit the ball the other way consistently, because you can't hit a ball out of the infield.
Yeah, you can't roll it over every time.
I don't think it's a one size fits all model. And right. When I listen to The Rock, you know, I kind of sense that, you know, like he's like, what, you know, what happened to other guys that you know, that hit that, yeah. I mean, I know the days of choking up on the bat and things like that are long gone, but you know what? There's something to be said for a two strike approach, you know, so it's not always a three strike approach.
Chuck, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Let's go to Brian in Natrona Heights. And by the way, you mentioned John Wehner and his, I don't know anybody that knows hitting as well as John, and I can sense that frustration too. Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm well, Jeff, and you?
Good.
So I have a different approach on this. I don't think whenever they made the trades at the deadline for the kid from Toronto and De La Cruz, I said to myself right away, I don't think they believed that they were ready this year to begin with, because at the end of the day, those two are the role players that are on, you know, the Yankees, the playoff teams. They're the role players that you know, do the little stuff, as compared to signing, you know, the Rhys Hoskins, which they should have signed at the beginning of the year.
Amen. So,
to me, I don't think they were ever convinced that they were a playoff team this year. And then the other thing that I don't like is, you know, there's no accountability for himself with Sheldon or his players, and that's the thing I really don't like. So, every time you hear him on the
I was just going to say, I think you bring up a really good point that, you know, maybe this team isn't ready yet to be that, and yeah, you could be right, and maybe this is proving out that they're just not ready yet. They didn't probably know Skeens was going to be that. Jared Jones always had a good arm, but no one saw what he was going to do the first couple of months of the season. So I think there's some truth to that. That's why, I look at this offseason as maybe in a decade the most important one they've had, because they have a couple of really good young pitchers, and they've said for years, ever since Ben Cherington's been here, we're going to tear this down, and when we're ready, we've got the resources. Well, spend it. Use it.
Yep. No, I completely agree, and it's almost like comparable to like where the Steelers at right now, where like they're not spending a lot of money on the quarterback. They won't spend a lot of money on the quarterback in the future, so they can delegate that money to other, you know, role players such as Aiyuk if they want to do, which I disagree with to begin with. But anyways, that's another story. Huh. But you know what I mean? But at the same time, like, you know, you have all these young pitchers in arbitration. You're not paying them anything. They need to start signing big-time players.
Yep.
So they get the most out of this roster whenever they have to let go of whoever.
Brian, great call, great points. I appreciate it. Let's go to Ron in Pittsburgh. Hello, Ron. Welcome to 93.7 The Fan.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, man.
I have a different take on all of this. I think the Sports and Expedition Authority should step in and tell Bob Nutting, if he doesn't put something competitive on the field, we're going to pull his lease and to make him force the sale of the team so we can get somebody in here that's going to spend the money on the team.
Well, I appreciate the passion. I mean, that's never going to happen. Let me just say that first. I understand what you're saying, and whether that's, you know, we've seen arguments now that, well, maybe there's been more money there that's been available to spend and they haven't spent it. If that's the case, then shame on the GM. But either way, this is your window. You save money for a couple of years while you tore it down. If you have to break even or get up to where you're spending a hell of a lot more money, prove it this offseason, man. Prove it. All of them, whether it's GM, owner, any of them. Yeah. Ron, I appreciate the call. I want to get to Jack here in Greensburg before we have to take a break, which we are late for. Hey, Jack, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, man.
I just wanted to say I'm a diehard fan of this team. I live, breathe, eat, sleep, all of it. I think after what we've seen in the last 10 games, it can just be Sheldon. I believe it shouldn't be Sheldon, it should be Charrington, but in the last 10 games, it has to be everybody. Everybody has to go this offseason. You have lost so many games on not only your two best relievers, which I don't fault him as much for, but I want to say it's 3 out of the last 10 losses, the one-run ones. They are based on bad bullpen decisions, pulling Beeks for Santana, and then Higashioka hit that ball almost out. It's such a backbreaker. I mean, it's already a backbreaker having these one-run losses, but just watching him manage the bullpen incorrectly and then, you know, letting that last run in, and then you have a little comeback in the ninth that would have tied it, but you end up losing. Right. It's awful.
I can't argue it, and appreciate. Thank you for the call, Jag. I can't argue with some of those decisions. They were bad decisions. If there is a positive I would pull from Sheldon is what he said about, you know, coming back. Team never quits on him. I guess that's good. But again, I'm not making that decision until the end of the year. After all the evidence is there, because of the reasons I laid out, I'm not making that right now. We'll take more of your calls. You can disagree with me, 412-928-9370. I want to do this exercise next. Of the guys currently in the lineup, who would you want to be in the starting, still want in the starting lineup next year? We'll discuss that as we continue. It's a Fan Evening Show on 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Jeff Hathorn with you here on Fan Evening Show on 93.7 The Fan, 412-928-9370. We're talking Buccos. Let's go up to Mount Washington. And Ted, you are next. Thanks for taking the time, Ted.
Yes, real quick. I mean, what's really frustrating about the Pirates, you know, I shouldn't be surprised, they play in one of the weakest divisions. It's only one game, only one team above 500. That's Milwaukee.
It's pathetic. And these guys can't even break 500, you know, and with Shelton, I mean, God bless him. He's a nice guy, but he reminds me of John Russell. It's time to move on. Okay. Those guys need to listen to another voice. There needs to be some kind of accountability. This team is geared to at least make a wild card. I mean, the division is hideous. And there's no way these guys go into a 10-game slump unless you're used to losing. And to me, that starts with the manager. There has to be some kind of accountability. As far as the pieces, I agree with you. You need a left fielder, you need a right fielder. But this team with the pitching staff is good enough to at least get a wild card. There's just no excuse in that.
Ted, appreciate it. Yeah, some great points there from Ted. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. As for the pieces, Joey Bart, I want back. Even with all of his defensive miscues, I want O'Neill Cruz's bat back. I love the intangibles of IKF, so I want him probably at somewhere. Brian Reynolds, obviously. And that's it. I realize De La Cruz has some power. He has shown absolutely nothing with the Pirates, like negative. Like if there's a negative OPS, he has it since he's been with the Pirates. He's just been abysmal. I mean, you kind of hope that he was going to provide some power. And listen, I was excited about it. 18 homers. Like, hey, this is what you need. You need a corner outfielder with some power. He's been bad. And then he's bobbling balls. He's probably got a lot, putting a lot of pressure on himself. I get it. I'm not going to judge his entire career, I guess, with the Pirates over the span of half a month or not even. But man, he's been bad. So maybe I would change my mind there because there is no internal option. But beyond that, I mean, I realize Hayes, and that's great that a third baseman has that kind of glove. Third baseman, as bad as O'Neill Cruz has been at times defensively, give me O'Neill Cruz's bat over Cabrian Hayes's glove. And that's where I'm at third. He has been better. This is an offseason. He's got to make some strides. It's not like you're going to trade him. But you don't have to play him every day. Not, and again, is Jared Triolo? No. At least not right now. IKF, maybe. With Nick Gonzalez at second, or Nick York at second, or Billy Cook at third, or two of the newer guys, you need to go out and find a first baseman. I don't care if you overpay by $5 million. I would think there would be a free agent with some resume that would want to be on a team with Paul Skeens. Like, you could come to Pittsburgh, you saw those games in June and July, you could feel it. Hell, the weekend with the Diamondbacks, you could feel it. What it could be like in there. Make a trade for a first baseman. That position needs to be answered. Center field needs to be answered. There aren't internal options. I think if you go into catching with Joey Bart and Andy Rodriguez, I feel good about that. I don't know what Henry Davis is. If there's a move I would make and start on Friday, it would be to DFA Yasmani Grandal and bring up Henry Davis. I have a feeling that Paul Skeens could probably have success with another catcher. Call it a hunch, but I feel like he'd be able to handle it. And it's not personal with Yasmani, because you hear there are intangibles there. There are Austin Hedges intangibles there. But you could spend this last 6 weeks finding out more about Henry Davis. I feel like we said the same thing last year, but before you just dump him based on how Nick Gonzalez played well when it looked like that first round pick was just a wash, bring up Henry and put him behind the plate. And hope he doesn't get hurt. Obviously, the concussion kind of played into what ended up happening. Just play him. See what happens. With Bart, I'm not saying you bench Bart. Put him in a DH sometimes. I'm not going to get all worked up if that first-round pick becomes a DH. Like if he's in your lineup, and I'm not saying he would DH this year necessarily, but he could be the guy who subs in when you have to give McCutchen a day off or two. And other days, you work him in at catcher. Seeing him in right field, I think I've seen that. First base, he hasn't been working there. I don't think I would put him there. But they have needs of upgrades at several positions. I feel even with Keller's last couple of outings, and it's still a small sample size with Jared Jones, the arm is really good. I like those guys. You get Oviedo back next year. I like where their rotation's at. I think Kyle Nicklaus and Majinski, and if Borecki's healthy and you find another reliever or two, because I can't imagine Raldis Chapman back. You hope that Bednar could find it. Man, Holderman for 2 months was an all-star, and it just fell apart. So I think a couple of those arms, and I would include Luis Ortiz in this, are good back end of the bullpen. Ortiz, to me, I know he's had some success starting. He's kind of a two-pitch pitcher. I'm putting him at the back end of my bullpen. I think he's got that kind of stuff, and he could be in that situation. But, man, this year is just – it's shown some positives. I guess if I'm going to be glass half full, it's at least teased us to what this could be, and that there's some pitching there, and that Brian Reynolds is indeed an all-star, and that was a hell of a signing. Unfortunately, Cabrian's has gone the other way. Maybe he has a hot September and finds something. There's a change, whatever it is, you hope he finds it. I mean, maybe York and Cook from AAA amount to something in the major league level. But there are changes that you know you've got something there. Use this time to find out if you have anything else in AAA that can be a part of this. I think that's the mission of the Pirates these last 6 weeks. And if you win as a part, I mean, you're not trying to lose. You're playing other guys to see how you can win and win in a sustained manner. X is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I mentioned earlier in the show that there are win totals out for NFL teams. Steelers is interesting. We'll discuss that next here on 93.7 The Fan. 93.7 The Fan, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDK, and WAMO 107.3 are partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for this year by providing stuffed backpacks for the hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive presented by Frank Walker Law. You can visit the homepage at 93.7thefan.com, support as an individual, or get a group together and help support. Help ensure a good start to the school year for local kids. Brought to you by MediConnect. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Be 70 overnight. Chance of afternoon storms tomorrow. And then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, chance for rain. Saturday looks bleak. But you never know. Steelers are playing, so there's a three-hour window where it's not allowed to rain or storm or lightning or any of it. Jeff Hathorn with you here on 93.7 The Fan with Joel Nelson. And we've been doing some Bucco talk, had some Pirates talk, some Pitt talk as well. And there was something that struck me, and CBS Sports, I'm a fan, and they did a story, you know, one of those stories like, okay, Will Brinson, predict all the win totals for teams. So let's go through some of these. And they did an alphabetic order, and so will we. Arizona 7-10. Atlanta 10-7. Well, they're glad to have Arthur Smith gone, apparently. Baltimore 12-5. And Joel, tell me if you have a problem with any of these.
Atlanta's
a little high.
And maybe it's because, you know, Kirk Cousins.
Well, and Judon.
Good little quarterback now. Yeah, Judon and Justin Simmons. Him and Jesse Bates.
Yeah, maybe.
That's quite the defensive backfield. They got that back there now. Man, to say the Falcons are going to get 10 wins, I think it's a little high.
Buffalo 10-7.
If you were to tell me the Falcons.
It's a better AFC East. It's a better AFC East. Carolina 6-11. They love Deontay.
I guess so.
Chicago 8-9. They love Justin being gone. Cincinnati 11-6. Okay.
It's reasonable.
How about this one? Cleveland 7-10 for the Browns.
A little bit of a downfall after
that's a big
last
downfall.
Season.
Playoff
I guess Deshaun Watson ain't
season.
The guy.
Joe Flacco coming in, taking him down to Houston where they got their tails kicked. Dallas, with all of their drama, 11-6. I want to say the drama is going to be a bigger impact there, but
they've got some things to do in Dallas. They've got a couple guys they need to get long-term contracts to and have not so far.
All right, Denver, 7-10. I don't know if Denver's a 7-win team yet, but Detroit, 11-6, which is actually down a little.
Were they 12-5 last year, or did they get 13 wins?
Well, I just
wins?
Mean with the, yeah, I mean with, especially with expectations. Everybody's picking the Lions now. That Honolulu Blue, Green Bay 10-7. Jordan Love happy now, happy contract. Okay, I think that's about right. Houston only 10-7.
Boy, that's an interesting one. You would think that they're probably an 11-win team. Stroud's going to take a bigger step in year two. He's got Diggs now.
The Colts are 8-9, according to CBS Sports. Of course, if Anthony Richardson's better, it's probably higher.
You would think so. Pony picked him as a dark horse MVP Ooh. Today.
Jags, 9-8. Jags are this weird team. I don't know what to make of Trevor Lawrence in that group. Kansas City, 12-5. You know you're running well when people are like, only 12 wins. I think that's fair. Las Vegas, 6-11. That's the worst record we've seen so far, 6-11.
That's reasonable.
Okay. Rams, 12-5 for the Rams. They're expecting Matt Stafford to be unbelievable.
If they get 12 wins, I wonder what...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.